We're here with Kenny Banning, EIC, engineer in charge, working in Vegas together, having a good time hanging out. I just finished striking my room, but you're still here, right? You have another day?
I got three more days.
Three more days.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I fly home and you
yeah.
a little while longer.
Lucky you.
So how did you find the live event production industry?
It was kind of funny. I've been doing broadcast engineering and live entertainment production for like theater and theme parks since about 08. 06. I started off at Busch Gardens in Tampa. And I was working at a TV station in Orlando, TBN, Christian Broadcasting Network. Mm. And basically, we had to rent some gear from the company I work for now. And one day when I was picking it up, I said, "Hey, by any chance, you guys use freelancers?" I'm like, "Yes." And they're like, "What do you do?" "I'm the assistant chief engineer at a TV station and a technical director." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, let's get your information right now."
Yeah, you were highly skilled. They were coveting you.
Yeah, really. So, and honestly, I didn't hear anything from them for about a year, almost a year and a half. And the funny thing is, like, out of the blue, they're like, "Hey, do you want to come out and shade for a show out in Vegas?" And I'm like going, "Yeah, sure. How long is it? And do I buy my tickets really?" "Oh, no, we take care of everything. You don't have to pay for a hotel. We pay for that, and you get the tickets and all that jazz, and you get per diem per day." I'm like, "Per diem? What's that?" I had no idea what that was.
Right.
And so they kind of gave me the lowdown. I'm like, "Well, you know what? There were some, I had some personal things going on, and I need a break." So I'm like, "Yeah, you know what? I'll take a week's vacation off, and I'll come out here." And flew out to Vegas and did shading for a big show in the arena at Mandalay Bay. And,
okay, yeah, the event center.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and thought it was really cool. I'm like, "This is so weird. They set up a broadcast production truck in the back of the arena, and they don't just pull one in. They actually build the truck in, like, small boxes and stuff." So I thought that was interesting, and my now boss at the time said, "Hey, so I got good reports. Everyone said you were really good. You want to come back and work with us, let me know." I'm like, "Yeah, but I got a full-time job. I don't need to worry about it and stuff. But if I have some free time, I'll let you know." "Okay, cool." I get back. And 2 days after I get back from that trip, I'm told that my position's pretty much wasn't needed anymore.
Wow.
And so I'm like, got out of that meeting, called my now boss, and said, "Hey, you know how I told you that if I had more time coming up?" "Yeah, that time is now." And pretty much he said, "Okay, well, send me your resume," and they interviewed me, and they hired me.
Wow.
I got into live, like, corporate kind of AV, but I mean,
you said you were at TBN.
Yeah, I was at TBN for 2.5 years. I was the assistant chief technical director, production director for like a lot of the TV tapings we did.
Now,
locally.
When you say technical director, because we're talking about broadcast, so that may be a different terminology.
Correct. Yeah. So the technical director, at least in their aspect, was me running the video switcher, calling shots, getting everything ready to go inside the studio. Helping out the chief engineer, making sure the cameras were turned on, occasionally shading every once in a while, running our EVS system, which is a tapeless digital recording system.
Okay, so like a DVR, like a hard drive.
Yep, pretty much, except lots of hard drive space. It was only 1080i, so it wasn't 4K, so it wasn't like huge amounts of whatnot, but yeah, so I pretty much helped set up, do everything there. If we did TV tapings or show broadcasts or anything over next door at the Holy Land Experience, which was the theme park that TBN is a parent company.
The Holy Land, so we're talking about in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. In Orlando. Mm-hmm. So basically, I would help set up stuff there too for broadcasts or recordings and stuff. But before then, I worked at Walt Disney World, but doing shows in the parks, helping out with broadcast operations, with tapings and stuff for like the races that they would do, the marathons. And before that, I started off at Busch Gardens as a lighting engineer.
Tampa,
yeah, back in the day. shortly after it was the Dark Continent, between getting sold to whoever it owns it now. I think it's InBev or whatever company it is that owns it now.
Okay.
But yeah, those were good times, so that was fun. And that's where I actually met my now wife. So she was a stage manager there, and I bumped into her literally and we started dating.
And you're a big guy. Yeah. So when you bumped into her.
Well, I bumped into her. She was actually, we were up in the catwalks at one of the theaters, and she was showing me how to plug in some of the lights, and I was looking around, and I was like, oh, wow, and I literally rammed right into her rear end.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And she turned around and was like, hey, you're going to be fun. And we just started dating, and now we're married. We're coming up on... will be 8 years this October. Wow. And she had a son beforehand, and now we have our little one, Connor, and he just turned 4. So,
man. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, since you've already started there on the family thing, I was gonna wait a bit. But you know, so by doing this career and traveling and all that, how does that work with your home life situation?
Technology is awesome. I want to thank, currently right now, I just want to say, I want to thank the Apple company for FaceTime. if it was not for FaceTime, my kids probably never see me or my wife. So I FaceTime every night. When I was younger, I was married before, another path of my life. And I had a daughter at that time. Talking on the phone was hard. You couldn't see. You couldn't really convey emotion. You couldn't let someone see what you're talking about. Does read body language? Or my son called me this morning at 6 a.m.
And how old is he again?
At 4.
4. Yeah.
Called me at 6 a.m. and he was all excited because we just planted seeds in a cup at an event that I took him to, and they were beginning to grow, and they sprouted out of the dirt.
Yeah.
So he called me at 6 a.m. this morning. Daddy, they're so pretty. I'm like, okay, I'm not awake yet. Give me a minute. So, but yeah, technology is amazing because you can have the ability to see your family even though you're away from home.
Yeah.
It's never going to replace you being there, but it makes it a lot easier, I think. Also, my wife is from being in the industry. She'd been doing... theater and production work in the theater realm since she was like 12.
Okay.
In high school, she was directing Union Crews when she was a senior in high school. And so she's got an idea about how the industry works and whatnot. And because of our faith and spiritual background, she doesn't have to worry about me straying. Mm-hmm. So she's not worried up that night. It's like, oh my gosh, what is my husband doing? Mm-hmm. Or this and that, because we are tied together through Christ. I'm a Christian, and we're tied together through that. So that helps bond us a lot more.
Okay.
So that makes things a lot easier.
Right, yeah. And, you know, on the production channel here, we haven't spoken about beliefs before and how that helps with somebody's career or kind of, I guess, in your situation, kind of keeping you all bonded together. But how do you see that overall helping or just affecting your job out here?
I think it makes me keep more of a moral compass, in the aspects of what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. At night when guys are getting done with the job and they say, hey, we're going to go to this bar and go have some drinks, or we're going to go out and play blackjack for a few hours or whatnot. And my first thought is, where can I go buy a pack of donuts and watch Harry Potter on TV? It's just kind of, that's what I did all this last weekend. It was weird. And I'm sitting there like, I'm in Las Vegas and I'm probably the most party capital in the world. And I'm either A, getting very old, or B, I'm just very comfortable with myself and knowing that I don't have to go out and do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So let's go back to understanding like young Kenny. Okay. I can already tell this young Kenny may have been a little bit of a goofball.
A little bit of a goofball. Got arrested once.
Oh.
I did some pretty stupid stuff in my young age. Young Kenny was a nerd. He was did really stupid and silly things when he was small, like take apart a television set and left the CRT picture tube laying on the floor, accidentally knocking my brother into said television tube. The needles on the back of a picture tube, if you've never seen them, he landed on it with his butt.
Oh.
Ended up him in the emergency room.
No.
That was bad.
not just the doctor's office, not just with the Band-Aid, the emergency room.
Yeah.
So now there's bills attached to this.
Yeah, so I was always a nerd and geek, a very smart kid, I'd like to say. But it started off in being real young. My parents got divorced when I was really young, when I was about 6. I started getting more in trouble, hanging out with the wrong crowd. what I guess was back in the 90s, people would call the trench coat mafia, where people really started wearing like black trench coats to high school because it was really cool.
Oh, okay.
What people would consider emo nowadays. I look at them like, yeah, sure, dude. I hung out with that crowd. When I was in ninth grade, I got in trouble for doing a fake bomb threat at my high school.
Oh, my goodness.
And got in some serious trouble. And it was at a high school just north of Tampa. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to pick the dumb day, not just calling it in. I was going to go play paintball at a friend's house. And I decided the night before to make a device that looked like a bomb. Oh. I was very creative in doing so. Had a motion detector on it, had a mercury switch on it.
Oh, man, you went extra with this.
I went the little old school little black sound effects boxes you could put on bike handlebars.
Uh-huh.
You remember those?
Yeah.
Had the little LED light that went across like the old bar on the Knight Rider car kit.
Yeah.
Had one of those on there. I got a motion sensor at Radio Shack and wired it up to a 9-volt battery. Got a mercury switch from an old AC controller. Got a ball of clear dental impression wax because my mom was a dental assistant.
Okay.
And made a ball of it, hollowed it out, put green cake icing in the middle of it, sealed it back up, put two wires to it. Yeah, it was bad.
Oh, my gosh.
I got really creative because it was going to be this really cool prop for our paintball game, and it just went totally sideways when I got to school, and they were doing SAT testing that day, and one of the seniors in band, because I was a band geek.
Yes.
I admit it right now.
I was in the band, too. It's okay.
I got talked into by seniors during the band that day. Oh man, you should take that and go put it in the bathroom in the commons area, the heart of the school, and someone will find it and we'll get out of the SAT test later. I'm like,
oh my god, yeah, that's a really good idea. I think I'll go do that.
Stupid. and I'll preface everything I'm about to say with I was stupid. so I went and did it. Came back to the band room. Did you do it? Yeah. All right. Yeah. About 30 seconds to about 2 minutes hit, and I'm like, this was a bad idea.
Yeah.
This was an incredibly bad idea. I should not have done that. So I'm like, I'll be right back. I'm going to go get it. I go open the band room door, and I can see the bathroom across the hall from where I put it, and the school resource officer is already over there.
Oh, no.
The principals are running over there. I've got teachers running over there. I just quietly closed the door and went and sat back down. I'm like, oh, I'm dead. They're like, what's going on? I'm like, the school resource officer is out there. And they're like, yeah, we're getting out of the test. I'm like, yeah. And needless to say, someone I didn't know walked in when I was doing it and saw me and was able to identify me. We sat outside the school for like 3 hours. Me and my friends, the trench coat guys, decided to go walk down the street to the pizza place. As we're walking, now the blue, two black Corollas, unmarked, pull up in front of us. Guys in suits pop out and like, who's Ken Banning? I'm like, and they all, like, one of my friends actually slowly pushes me behind him so they can't really see me much. And I start taking off my glasses. Some dork in the back, hey, he's right there. I'm like, hi. You need to come with us now. Okay. So they interrogate me. I don't say anything. I'm like, when I have no idea what you're talking about, this and that. And they're like, okay, fine. And out of the blue, they bring this kid in, like going, is that him? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, and then they walk away, and then they leave me sitting there for about 10 minutes. So now my stupid freshman brain is like, who was that? No one was in there. Was there someone in there? Someone came in there. Oh, crud, he saw me. Darn it. So then two FBI officers walk in, because not only did I decide to do this, I decided to do this on the same day that Barbara Bush, the first lady at the time, was visiting Tampa.
Oh, man.
So the bomb squad from Tampa had to come up and assist the sheriff's department with this said device that I had put down. And the FBI was like, huh, this is interesting. We're going to tag along. So they sent two of their agents with them. And so the FBI agents walk in, and I'm like, hi. And they're like, yeah, we're with the FBI. I'm like, you're with the who? Like, not even thinking.
Right.
Why would FBI agents be here? I'm like, yeah, well, we were in town, and we heard about this, and we wanted to come check it out. I'm like, all right. I'm like, now I'm becoming a sarcastic 13, 14 year old is kicking in.
And I'm sorry. I just remembered that you said you were 13, 14.
Yeah, because I was a freshman in high school. So it was crazy. So I was dumb. So they came in, right, going, yeah, so we found they know where the device is and this and that and whatnot. So that kid saw you. So you really need to fess up to what's going on and tell us because we don't want to get hurt. So I'm like, okay, this is getting serious. I need to start fessing up. So I told them everything and whatnot and what happened and why I did it. And they were like, going, okay, stupid mistake. Come with us. So they take me out to the bomb trailer and they're pulling out the robot to go in there to pick it up and stuff. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. And they're like, shut up, sit down. Like, okay. And so I get in there. And
they still had to go through the process.
Oh, they had to go through the process because even though I'm telling them it's okay and it's fake and everything, they still have to go through everything they need to do, their protocol.
All the protocol, right, yep.
So there's a little camera on the arm of the robot. And they go in and they go to pick this up and the robot's like, can't pick it up. And they're like, robot tech is looking like, is there something wrong with the robot? And they're like, going, I don't know. And I sit there and I'm like, yeah, you're not going to be able to pick it up. And they're like, how heavy is that thing? I'm like, it's not heavy. I super glued it to the floor.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
So the two FBI agents start cracking up in the corner of the bomb truck. The two sheriff's deputies look at them and they're like, so I'm sitting there like, yeah, I super glued it to the floor because I'm dumb. And they're like going, oh, okay, that's cool. So they hit a little button, this little thing pops out of the arm, and they had a laser built into it, and they literally cut it out of the concrete.
Oh.
Picked it up in like 4 or 5 inches of concrete below
it. Oh, that sounds like a bill.
I was so beyond not thinking about that, I didn't care. And so they carried out there and put it in there. Next thing you know, I'm being taken away. So I got charged with disrupting a school disturbance, putting a hazardous device in the school, and they wanted to charge me with third-degree felony of possible terrorism, which was kind of a new thing back then. This was back in 92, 93.
Okay.
So I go to court, and pretty much they have me confessing. That's all that jazz, and they were going to have the device. Well, they call up the FBI agents, they were subpoenaed to come in, and one of the two came and said, they're like, going, okay, so basically, they took the device because they were kind of like the higher ranking people there.
Mm.
Well, they said, they're like, okay, well, we need to have the FBI to relinquish that evidence to us so we can process it because my fingerprints were on it and all that jazz and everything. Like, yeah, and the FBI agent goes, yeah, about that. We're currently processing it ourselves, and it's been kind of, I don't want to say misplaced, but we're currently investigating, looking for it in our evidence logs.
Mm.
And so I sit there and I'm like, huh? my lawyer immediately goes, hold on. And you're like going, and as soon as we get it, we'll make sure we get it back to you guys. And the prosecuting attorney just kind of sits there with his mouth open, like, I don't really have a case for 2 out of the 3 charges I have without that device. Well, we understand that, and we'll get it to you. We should have it to you within the next 6 to 8 months.
Right. So what transpired with all of that?
They never returned it. So they had to drop the charges. So the only charge that I got charged with was disrupting the school function.
Oh.
Which is a misdemeanor.
Test. Yeah. Okay.
So, well, school in general.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter if there's a test or whatever. Just school, and you disrupt a school function, football game, whatever, you can be charged with that.
Okay.
Who knew?
Yeah. the people who've been charged.
Yeah. Me. I pled adjudication withheld, and basically my record was expunged when I turned 18.
Mm-hmm.
I served like 300 hours of community service. I had to sand little pieces of wood for children's toys, for Toys for Tots, manually. By hand,
hours.
Yeah, hurt many, many hours doing that. So, and that was the only stupid thing I did that ever got me arrested.
Wow.
So,
what are some jobs that you've done, like, or some cool opportunities that you've done since working in this industry?
In the live, like, corporate arena,
mm-hmm.
Doing a lot of stuff for big clients, I don't know if I'm allowed to name drop or whatnot.
Oh, yeah, we can name drop. It's no problem.
Cisco, Microsoft, EY, doing different productions for all kinds of, like, different industries, steel workers, electrical workers, different things like that. Seeing how their companies work, probably the coolest one I think I've done recently was public supermarkets and rewards that they did for their employees.
Okay.
And seeing how they took care of their employees and stuff and being a part of that production to be able to help them reward their employees back.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff. But outside of that, I mean, I've done production work on Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Parade and ESPN, different sports going on at the ESPN Sports Complex. Mm-hmm. With TBN, I've done things with Joel Osteen and Creflo Dollar, Ty Tribbett.
Mm-hmm.
I've done stuff with them.
So you've done a good number of prominent events and mm-hmm. large scale projects. So how do you, as an engineer, like an engineer in charge, you have that mindset of building things, troubleshooting, all that. How do you approach your job? Like when you've been requested or told you're going somewhere to work on a project, how do you approach that?
I try to keep it as simple as possible. One of the things I learned early on is keep it simple, stupid. and pretty much just finding out what gear we're going to use. Try to build in my brain, if it's not already drawn out for me, how I'm going to hook it up.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing I think that I have to learn and know going into an event is signal flow. I have a camera, needs to get through this router, go to that switcher, needs to come out of the switcher or router, go to a screen switcher nowadays. Mm-hmm. Before it was just a production truck and go out to satellite or whatnot. But in this industry, in live event industry, especially stuff doing in ballrooms and arenas, they have computer systems that come out and process stuff going out to the screens or the LED walls for projectors and everything. So knowing signal flow, knowing what type of cables, distances on how long signals can go, different resolutions and
difference
stuff.
Difference between like copper and fiber.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Knowing all those different things, you have to approach it on how am I going to get from point A and point B, and when it breaks between A and B, where do I need to look first? So just trying to figure out we have a Christie spider processor that is having, today we were having an issue where the picture coming into the spider was glitching a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But everything from my CCU for the camera, going through the switcher, up to him, even me plugging in a test monitor into his input or just before his input on his machine, seeing that the signal was fine, and then looking at that and then just trying to do some things and then resetting stuff on the spider cleared it all up. So you have to kind of jump through the hoops of like, okay, so where do I need to look first to find out where this signal is having a problem?
Yes.
So knowing how to signal flow and signal path is probably the biggest thing you can know in this industry.
Right. And as a video projectionist, I take a lot of time in pre-production understanding, you know, I have my drawing, I have my quote, and understanding how it all will work together, right? Mm-hmm. And I even understand, okay, the distance from my furthest projector to where the switcher will be located or the rack. Okay, how far is that? Where are my cable breaks going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And I mark that on my drawing so that I know when it comes time to troubleshoot, because this stuff is flown in the air on trust and all that, I know exactly where to go if something's not, you know, to go test through that signal flow line.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you find enjoyment in that? In the engineering side?
I do, actually, because I am not a person who likes to do the same thing all the time.
Hmm.
I've proven that with the tens of thousands of jobs I've had since I've gotten out of high school, that if I'm doing something, the same thing that all the time, it gets boring to me.
Mm-hmm.
This job is never the same thing twice. Even if you have the same equipment, you walk into a different room, you're like going, well, that ain't going to work here. So, and even when you have everything drawn out, you have all your equipment listed, you have everything you think you need, mm-hmm. and then you try to plan for more because you're like going, okay, historically, I know I'm going to probably need more DAs mm-hmm. or distribution amplifiers for those who don't know.
Thank you for clearing it.
You're welcome. Then. people, just more equipment you need, it's always going to change.
Yeah.
I can't think of one time it's happened exactly
the way
they said it was going to happen. But that's why we're engineers. We're there to go over the little hurdles that are presented to us mm-hmm. in doing what we do.
Yeah. You know, Jay Miriam, audio guy, good friend of mine, he says, like, basically one of the reasons why we're traveled and brought around because we're the insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they trust us. They know that we will do the job. And Richard Dunn also said the same thing. So, you know, thinking about how we are traveled to do our job and travel to do it well, and being that engineer and thinking about how everything gets put together, you also mentioned to me that you're preparing for an upcoming tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, it'll be my first one with this company. I did a few short tours when I was younger. I toured with DC Talk and Out of Eden. And
some Christian groups.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mostly Christian groups, because basically when I'd gotten out of the military, the short time I was in there, I decided to go help out with my local church.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a concert for Michael W. Smith one time, and I started coming up and ask him a bunch of questions about the lights and the sound equipment and stuff. And they're like, "What are you doing this summer?" I'm like, sitting on my mom's couch. Why? And they're like, "Why'd you come travel with us?" I'm like, okay. So I signed up. I got permission from my mom, and that was my junior year. No, it was way after the military. So I got permission, and I said, hey, I want to go do this. And pretty much I traveled with them for a short time,
yeah.
and I just started learning things, and I was like, this is kind of cool, and I want to start learning more. And so pretty much anywhere I went, I just asked questions mm-hmm. all the time.
Being on the road 17 years now, and just thinking about how I've grown, and think about how I've learned to, how I've, you know, kind of recentered mm-hmm. myself and my focus. And so that's part of the reason why I do, you know, the production channel, I do the private channel, I do the YouTube channel,
mm-hmm.
All these different things to just pass on that information, you know, to other people and help them to be inspired or at least start conversations.
Yeah, and that's awesome, man. I mean, yeah. the fact that you're, it's actually something I would have loved to have done. I just never had the initiative to do it. But the fact that you are feeling to be called as a leader
mm-hmm.
in showing people and mentoring people and taking the task to bring people into the industry or help them come along in their path through the industry, you are being a light to other people too. So that is... I commend you on that. That's awesome that you do that.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. What if you were, you know, standing in front of a room of youth looking to get into, you know, production, live production, you know, what would you share with them? What would you tell them?
Always eat breakfast. especially if it's free. Show bacon is awesome.
Show bacon.
Show bacon. I have a picture I'll give you for this interview so you can show it, about show bacon. Always keep your eye on the task at hand. Why are you doing this? Are you doing this so you can become cool and popular? Are you doing this for the money? Are you doing this to impact people? Mm. If you're doing it to impact people, because that's what you're doing. I mean, you shine lights. You bring up pictures on the wall. People, I mean, if you think about it, people who go and film the videos that we show on the screens
mm-hmm.
to bring positive change or influence through either guest speakers and whatnot are all trying to be there to help someone else out. So in all effort, we are being a part of that and being a positive change in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I have the ability to say no, and you have the ability to say no.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're coming into this industry and there's something that on you that you don't feel comfortable doing, don't do it, and make sure you always eat show bacon.
I love it. I love it. You know, it's, I almost kind of went into there. You know, that was some good words to the youth. That was some, you know, nice little light show bacon. Kenny Banning, engineer in charge. Thank you so much for joining us on the production channel.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man, that was fun. It was fun. And if there's anybody, any positions that you're interested in hearing about, let us know. Reach out to us on Facebook Messenger, and we'll kind of keep it going, you know? We'll keep the chatter going. All right? Have a great one.
The production channel is brought to you by its title sponsors, Showflow and Clemco AV. Its platinum sponsors, AE3 Media, John Landsman, Liesl Bala, Jeff Sturgis, Hillary Brown, and Ashley Davis. If you are interested in becoming a sponsor, you can find information at www.patreon.com/production channel, or you can contact us through Facebook Messenger for a sponsorship packet. Thank you for being a part of this community. Everything we do is to make this industry better for those in it and those affected by it. We want to help you produce the best show ever, your life.